And in my thoughts and thinking about the veterans, I thought, well, you know, in some sense, all of us are veterans in the army of the Lord, the ones who are saved.
Hello.
We have some service that we are doing. Amen. And that came to my mind as I was thinking about how grateful I was for military men and women. And then that coupled with another thing, I have a friend who I never thought I would be so fond of, just a friend who I went to school with way back when I was taking electricity in school, who wrote me a letter. His name is Jimmy Olson. I didn't even know he still was around, and I stumbled across him on Facebook, and he and I have been writing back and forth, and he was telling me some things about his service that he has been doing with the Lord, which amazed me. Because when we were in school, I thought, boy, he would be the last person I think would be in the Lord. And he was probably thinking, oh, he would be the last person I would think would be in the Lord. There's no way, because we were pretty wild back in those days. But talking with him, he said some things that it made me think. I said, well, you know what? God has empowered a whole lot of people. It doesn't make any difference where you start. You can start from anywhere. Doesn't make any difference what you're doing, how twisted you may be, how twisted and out of order you could be. You could be like way twisted. You know, it doesn't make any difference. God can take you right from where you are. And he loves you right where you are. And he can fix you up, put you in his army, and put you on his team, and you can become a veteran in the Lord. Army. You know what? When you go to, just like when you go to military, they send you off for a 6 weeks of basic training or 6 months or whatever it is.
Yep.
And then you know what they do? They send you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the Lord says? As soon as you get in Christ, guess what? I'm sending you out. You're prepared. You're equipped.
That's right.
The devil will tell you, you don't know enough. Don't tell nobody about your experience. Yeah, you have to wait till you get your life in order. But your life can't get in order if you don't know Jesus.
That's right.
You can't get yourself together. You don't have anything within yourself to get you together.
Nothing.
You know what? But God has everything, and he's given his son. And I want to give you proof just before we read this text. Jesus went to a demoniac that was in the cemetery.
Yes, he did.
They had chained him in the cemetery. Remember we talked about that in chapter 5 of Mark?
Yep.
And they say, man, we hate you so much, we're going to chain you down in the cemetery. In other words, we hope you die up in there.
Yep.
Stay away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Read Mark 5, one of the strangest stories in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
And he was breaking the chains, it said. So he was strong enough to just snap the chains when they broke, when they put them on him anyway. But he sat there in the cemetery. Because
mm-hmm.
he probably thought, oh, these folk here is better than y'all.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't bothering me. I can hang around up in here and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Come down there where y'all at. Y'all want to bind me and lock me up and chain me up in the cemetery. I'll just stay up here.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine his mental state.
Mm-hmm.
How he felt.
Yep.
Dejected, rejected, mm-hmm. set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came one day, and who did he go to? The demoniac in the cemetery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he said the demons began to speak as soon as he came up. Mm-hmm. Are you going to cast us into the pit before the time?
Mm-hmm.
We know who you are, yep. Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
They recognized Jesus.
Yes, they did.
He said, what's your name? He said, we are legion, for we are many.
That's
he
right.
was full of demons.
Yeah.
And Jesus talked with him, released him from his sin and his bondage.
Mm-hmm.
The demon said, well, don't throw us in the pit before the time. Let us go into the swine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jesus commanded them to go into the swine.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said a man was found clothed and in his right mind. He had been naked
wow.
in the cemetery all those years. And you know what he said? He said, let me go with you, Jesus, and follow you.
Yep.
Jesus said, know what? You know, don't follow me. Go and tell those people what the Lord has done for you. That's what I meant by basic training is sharp and sweet. Once he breaks the chains of the devil off of you, you go. Just tell people what I did for you. You don't have to be a Bible scientist. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know Genesis to Revelation. It's all right if you do. Set your heart on it. Learn it. God wants you to know it. But you don't have to know it. All you got to do is tell people what God has done for you. Somebody put it this way. They said, you know what? I'm just a beggar. Who's begging for bread, and I found bread, and I'm going to go tell somebody else where I found bread. That's it. It's that simple. You don't have to be a theologian or a minister. Just tell people what God did for you. Let him pick it up from there. We could go on with stories like that in the Bible. So you are a veteran. You have been called into the armies of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but guess what? You are victorious.
Yes, we are.
You cannot lose.
No way.
If you're in the armies of Jesus, you cannot lose. You are a soldier in the armies of Jesus. We want to talk about that in just a minute. Let's take a look at an Old Testament text here in Jeremiah chapter number 10. He says here, you can stand if you like and read this with me if you don't mind. Jeremiah 10:7 through 12 from the Old Testament, the KJV, King James Version. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz, the work of the workmen, and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing, and they are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. He has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Amen. So he is that awesome God who has done all that. And that's verse 12. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now for 2 Corinthians 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Let's read. Myself beseech you
by the means and gentleness of Christ, who has been based among you, but being absent and bold towards you. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with the baptized. Wherewith I need to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk
according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the Old and the New Covenant text. And I want to talk just for a little bit here on this Veterans Day about victorious soldiers in the armies of Jesus. Victorious soldiers in the armies of Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of things that people scuffle with, and a lot of skirmishes and fights going on in the world. You probably have some personal ones in your own personal life. And sometimes we have a lot of different types of enemies. We have to identify who the enemies are.
All right.
One of the startling things about getting saved is that you realize one of my worst enemies lives right here.
Amen.
It's the way he thinks.
Amen. That's right.
He don't think right all the time.
That's right.
It's stuff going on in his mind that takes him off the track of doing what God wants him to do. That's one of the most startling realities about getting saved. You realize that there is an enemy within.
Yes.
And the Bible puts it this way, calls that, just to give it a term, the flesh.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh, this is about the C part of the verse, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. See, so he says, that doesn't mean that I'm no good. Because you know why? Because when God made you, guess how he made you? He made you in his image and in his likeness.
Yes.
See, so what you have is the image of God made in his image and his likeness, but it's been marred by a principle called sin.
Yes.
It was from the fall of Adam. When Adam fell, we made a change in the way we operate in the flesh. It changed the mindset of how people think. It changed the way people live.
Yeah.
It changed what they think is important and what they think is unimportant. It put barriers between them and God.
Yes.
And so we live in that situation. That fallen state is what the Bible refers to as the flesh. Mm-hmm. In other words, the flesh is selfish.
Yes,
it is. It cares about me more than anything else. It puts me right and everything else wrong most of the time, even though that may not be the case. It's carnal. That means it's another word it uses to talk about satiation of my own desires, my own personal desires and goals, and placing them above those of others. Mm-hmm. Not equal, but above. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to be that way. So that's one of the wars that goes on. Mm-hmm. I would call that the war within. In some cases, the war within is very difficult. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because as I've said to you before, some of you who study with me all the time, you know that I said to you, you are omnipresent.
Yeah. Yep.
The only other omnipresent source in your life is God. Mm-hmm. And so the battle you have within is between you and God. Mm-hmm. And you have that 24/7.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's you. You are in there. You're the one who decides, what am I going to do with what I know about God? Mm-hmm. See, am I going to do what he says, or am I going to defy what he says? Mm-hmm. Am I going to walk with him or walk against him?
Yeah.
Yeah. The flesh makes those decisions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We call it the will. It's simply called the will. What do I choose to do?
Right.
What will I set my heart on doing? Will I do what I want to do, mm-hmm. or will I do what he wants me to do? You know what? If you're lost, you can't even make the decision to do what he wants you to do. You got to be saved first. Salvation is the first step of getting it right to win the war within.
Yes.
I got to be right with God first.
Mm.
See, and part of my problem is my flesh is, well, you know, God don't want to have nothing to do with you. Because you're in yourself. You say, well, you know, when you get yourself together, then you can go and join the church. We live under the illusion that we can do something to make ourselves better, and then when we get to that point, then we're going to come join the church. But the truth is, you cannot get yourself together. You need Jesus right now. When you call on Jesus, that's when the things are going to start to change. That's when there's going to be some power in your life to overcome some of the stuff you're dealing with. That's when there's going to be some understanding in your life about what thus saith the Lord in his word. See, you will not understand the things of God without the interpretation of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
People read the Bible all the time. I hear them on the radio. But I read the Bible and it didn't do nothing for me. I said, the problem is you got to be saved when you read it. You can't just read it and set it over there on the coffee table next to the Ebony magazine. You know, or any of that stuff you may have over there. Dr. Spock can't help you. He got a problem himself. Everybody else, name somebody. Who you want to name? All these folks. Dr. Phil, whoever. I think it could be Dr. Empty in many cases. But people can't really help you. God is the one who you need to help you get yourself together. See what I'm saying? So you can go to psychiatrists, you can go to witch doctors, you can go to any kind of stuff you want to, but like David said, all my help comes from the Lord. See, that's where you get real help. And you know what? God knows that we need that help. That's why he did what he did.
Yes.
This is why he gave his son, Jesus, to help us, because we can't make it without him. And it was his good pleasure to give you his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been going on a long time. We don't have time to really break it all down. But most of you have studied the word, so I'm going to just take a little time to talk about how stuff got like this, first of all.
Yes.
The war within is a hard one to win.
Oh, yes.
You're why we make the final decision.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will know about it but me and God. Half the time, if I don't decide to do right,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a secretive kind of thing because it's in your mind. You know what? I'm glad you all don't know everything I'm thinking all the time.
Yes. So true.
Y'all looking at me now. Look across the pew. Isn't it a good thing people don't know everything that comes in your mind? It's a good thing, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Hey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good thing you don't know everything I think. And it's a good thing I don't know everything you think. You know, and so we have a secrecy in our mind. But you know what? God knows what's in your mind. Ezekiel, I think it's 11 verse 4, says that I know everything that enters into your mind, Israel. I know just what you're thinking. But you know what else? He still loves you. He knows all that traffic in your mind. But he loves you still.
Yes.
He knows exactly what you're thinking, and he still loves you.
Thank you.
While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Jesus died for my sin. And God knew full well who he was dealing with. Folk like me. I'm not going to talk about y'all. I'm going to talk about me. He knew full well what he was dealing with. And I have often said, I think he picks folks who are the worst basket cases to call them to preach. So they'll tell the truth and shame the devil. Because folk need to know the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So there's a chain of events. You got to continue in his word. You know, and when you do, you're going to know the truth. Why? Because his word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, so people tell you today, well, that's your truth, and this over here is my truth, and we believe this, and you believe that, so there's no difference between what I believe and what you believe, and that's the way you see God, but I see God this way. And you know what? God is going to say, that's hogwash.
That's what it is.
When the time comes down, why? Because I sent my son.
Right. Yes.
Your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate. The world is built around him, and you want to ignore him and tell me about something else that calls itself God.
Amen.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be the world around. It's nothing different than what these people did in Jeremiah's day.
Mm-hmm.
He says here, who would not fear thee, O King of Nations?
Mm-hmm.
Now this term, O King of Nations, that's a melech in the Hebrew, of the Goyim, that's the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah is saying he's the king of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
That might even been a slap in some of the Jews' face around this time.
Yeah.
He's the king of nations.
Mm-hmm.
For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. People make God who they think they want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Always did.
Always.
Started with, back in the Bible, with Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Cain says, yeah, I know who you are, but I'm doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed his brother.
Yeah.
And the Lord confronted him and said, Cain, where's your brother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
That's some new age philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who put me in charge of him? Mm-hmm. Ask me for.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a rebellious idea. Well, how about that blood that I hear screaming up from the ground? You see, and it was because I don't believe God.
Yes.
I have a philosophy that I do not believe you. I brought you my best. You didn't accept it. He brought you what you asked for. You accepted him. I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta go. So there's always been an animosity against people who love the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the symbol right there. Now there is no lineage of Abel in the Bible of physical sons, but the writer to the Hebrews says the blood of Abel yet speaketh. Still speaking right now, even though he was put to death. Jesus said all the prophets from the foundation of the world are from Abel to Zechariah. See that? And he said, their blood is going to be charged against this generation, speaking to the Jews who cried out, crucify him, before it was all done. So this started, it goes way back, all the way back then. Just wanted to mention that, because it is something in the biblical text that shows you that the righteous are persecuted because they believe God. And so you don't hear a lot of talk about that today, but the King of Nations has always been the king of all the nations. That's why Jesus finally shall be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody going to know who the real king is. When all the dust settles out of everything here in the creation, they're going to know who the King of Kings is and who the Lord of Lords is. See, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, so he's always been the King of Kings and he always will be. But for whatever reason, he is saying, I'm in a low pressure situation. You know why? Because the whole earth preaches about me. Mm-hmm. The heavens declare my glory.
Mm-hmm.
The firmament shows my handiwork.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the heavens and the earth are declaring that he is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we got people telling us, oh, that happened because of a big explosion. Way back. Well, what caused the explosion? Well, we don't know. See what I'm saying? So that's foolishness. Basically, doesn't make any sense. Notice verse 8 in Jeremiah 10. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. That's what they come up with. None but vanities. So that means worthless thinking. Silver spread up onto plates. And he starts talking about all the kind of stuff people do in phony worship. Making various things, plates from Tarshish and gold from Euphaz and the work of a workman and the hands of the founder and the blue and purple and their clothing and all their work is cunning of cunning men. Very crafty stuff people make. Yeah, they're talented, they're gifted,
yep.
But they don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And as an everlasting king, at his wrath the earth shall tremble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, you haven't experienced God's wrath, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. That's Psalm 2.
Yeah.
Once again, that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the counselors take counsel together. See, against the Lord and against his anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Say, let us break their bands asunder. We don't have to stick with that script. Let us cast away their cords from us. They're holding us back from pressing on to be the people we really are made to be. See, they said, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Yet if I set my king up on my holy hill in Zion, God says, I'm sitting in the background, but I got my king in place already. When y'all started wanting a king, you end up with Saul.
That's right.
Because he was good looking, head and shoulders above everybody. Biggest loser you ever want to meet. But he sure looked good. Look at her. This is our king.
That's what they said.
He looking good. Got the nation looking good.
Woo!
But he wouldn't keep covenant with God. He made bad choices. His will was tainted against the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so he ended up committing suicide. Threw himself upon his own sword.
Right.
Terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Led Israel into idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. Terrible. But this stuff has been going on. You can see it all through the word. Verse 11. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods with the small g and s,
mm-hmm.
that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. You know what? They're only going to be on the earth. That's what it says here. They shall perish from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't nothing but dust. You came from dust. Guess where you're going?
Yep.
Back to the dust. You're under the heavens. That's why they're trying to get out in space now so we can say we have some authority and dominion out here too. How's that working for you?
Mm.
He had made, now notice what it says here. He had made the earth by his power, and he hath established the world by his wisdom. And he has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. So he knows everything.
Yes, he does.
Simply put it, he'll still be God no matter what man thinks.
Amen.
You see, man always has something to think, some evil against God.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since the battle of Cain and Abel, there has been a spiritual and cultural war in progress within the souls of every human being to select to stand for the things of God that God has established or to remain against God's way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you're dealing with is, am I going to do this God's way or my way?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you're trying to decide.
Mm.
I don't care what you're trying to decide. Whatever you're trying to decide is, are you going to do it God's way or are you going to do it your way? You have two choices in everything you decide. Every day.
Every day.
Or am I going to do this God's way or my way? Well, you know what? So-and-so did this to me back then and I can't forgive them. Was that your way or was that God's way? Oh, so-and-so treated me this way over here, so I ain't going to get nowhere past here. Is that your way or is that God's way?
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself, analyze your thoughts.
Yes.
We're going to see that here. So that's what the battle is, really, is am I going to bend my will to his will or I'm just going to be stubborn
mm-hmm.
and do it my way?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention Sinatra at this time. So this is what I'm saying. We have to establish whose way is going to prevail in this situation, which I believe is also the reason behind all the other wars having been fought in some way throughout the history of mankind, even up until this day. Sometimes war is necessary.
Yes, it is.
If you got people who don't love God and they're saying, well, we're just going to come in, we got more power than you, we're going to overpower you and take you out. Now, God has shown us in the Word, you know what, that won't work if the people trust God.
That's right.
Ask Joshua. Ask Joshua. They didn't have as many people. Jericho's a big old city, fenced city. God says, I'm going to give you the city. Why? Because they don't believe me. They ought to. Why? Because they heard about what happened with these other kings over here on the other side of the river. God knocked all them out.
Yep.
Og and Bashan and all, the king of Bashan and all those different gods took them out.
Yes, he did.
With my people Israel. And they act like they're fortified big enough where they don't think we can't touch them. You know what I want you to do? I want you to ride around the walls. Y'all know the story. Just blast some trumpets and give me praise when you go around. And they thought, how ridiculous. The folks of Jericho, man, that's ridiculous. First they might have been a little scared. Here they come, oh my God. And then there they go. Went on around. The seven times they went for the 7 weeks. Around to every day for 7 days. Then seven times the last day. By the time they was going around the last time, they were probably laughing. Here they come again.
Yeah.
But God. See, when the trumpets blasted and nothing happened, Joshua said, shout, for the Lord will give us the victory. And when they shouted, guess what? The walls of Jericho went down. They probably never thought this is going to be a problem for us. Some little folks blowing trumpets. Are you kidding me? And going around here praising the Lord? Praising God is what you need to do. Fix your mind on giving Him praise. Take your mind off your trouble. Instead of you being troubled and worried, tell your trouble about your God and how powerful He is. How He can move mountains. We sang the song. He can keep me in the valley and hide me from the rain. He can take me through the storm. He can keep me standing up when I should be knocked over backwards. So that's the God. He's awesome, that awesome one. So in the days of Jeremiah, there was rebellion against God, not only by the covenant people, His own people got to where they were flaky like the nations. Man, that looks like they're having pretty much fun over there with that golden calf. Let us get one. Our God is invisible. Let us get one too so they can see our God. What about the Ten Commandments?
Put no gods before
me. And have no gods before me, and do not make any graven images of anything in the earth. God commanded them, don't do it.
Don't do it.
But oh, they look like they're really enjoying that thing. Let's get together and make us one. Following others, there's a war without.
Yes.
Do you want to look like the church over there or that church down there? Why don't we do some of that, what they're doing over there? Or do we just want to worship God and let Him get all the glory?
Yes, amen.
I ain't studying what you're looking like over there.
Amen.
Or am I doing what thus said the Lord in here?
Right, right.
In His Word. That's what I care about.
Amen.
You can do all that over there, fine. Go ahead. I'm not worried about you. I'm not your judge. I ain't studying, though. I ain't thinking about you because this is what God told me to do.
That's right.
Is that where your mind and your will is? I'm going to do what thus said the Lord.
Yes.
I'm not going to be trying to match up with church X, Y, or Z.
Amen.
Because sometimes church X, Y, and Z may not be on the right track.
All right.
Just because they're looking good and they're impressive and all that kind of thing doesn't mean they're on the right track. Jericho was pretty impressive.
Hello.
Pretty impressive. Just to build a wall like that was impressive.
Build a wall.
It's amazing. They said you could take 7 yoke of chariots and oxen across the top of it.
That's
had
right.
2-lane traffic going on that baby, like a major highway. And all that, all kinds of condiments up on the top of the house. Houses of ill repute. Other stuff. Probably lounging food. Who knows what all was up there. That's what I'm trying to say. So yeah, they might be looking good. So in the days of Jeremiah, there was rebellion against God, not only by the covenant people, but also by the Gentiles or the nations. They all lusted after the greatest material things of the world with no regard for the true king. The greatest, they wanted all these things, but the God of Israel who made the heavens and the earth is the one who was the covenant. He was the God of the covenant people because of their disregard for the properties of God's word. they were under the chastisement of God as well. God said, okay, you didn't keep my word, you didn't keep the Sabbath on the land, guess what? I'm going to deport you out of the land so the land can rest and enjoy her rest for 70 years. See what I'm saying? So that's what the first the captivity, when Israel was cast out for 70 years. Daniel knew when the 70 years was about up, he was in the captivity. He's called an exilic prophet. He was out there exiled. While God put you out, I'll put you out of the land since you don't know how to take care of it. And I told you what to do. Where did I tell you? Right here in my word. So why don't we learn a lesson from that? It's amazing. Look what Paul says here now. And that's the war without. One of the wars without. Now, you know what? We're not really trying to promote war. We're not into anybody being destroyed or any of that. But you and I have a mental battle that we have to do every day. Because we are armies. We're soldiers. We're already victorious. God has given us the victory. If you know and love Jesus Christ, you have the victory. That's the first thing you got to do. Cast the devil out of my mind. God has given me the victory.
Right.
I cannot lose. So all I need to do is choose the right thing.
Amen.
Joshua told those unbelievers, choose you this day whom you will serve.
Right.
You know, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
See, and Moses even had to tell them one day, you all who are with the Lord, come over here on my side.
Right.
The rest of y'all stay on over there. If that's what you want to do, you in the right place.
Amen.
You see, and so Paul knows that the battlefield is in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of battles that you have to go through, and me every day.
Mm-hmm.
So look what he says here. Now, I, Paul, myself, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, think about that for a minute, the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Meekness is power under control.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't mean you're weak. It means I have power, but I can control it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was still God. He was the one who humbled himself.
Mm-hmm.
Took upon him the form of a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Was found in fashion as of a man. If you looked at him, he looked like an average everyday Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But he had authority and he had power. But he had purposely toned himself down in order to get you and me into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Make a way that would be acceptable to his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was nothing any human institution or individual could do to make you right.
Mm-hmm.
So God says, I'm going to do it myself. Sent my own son. So that's why he says here, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you. In other words, you look down on me if you see what I look like and how I really am. But being absent, I'm bold towards you. I'm speaking you the word. And when they came, they say Paul was a little hunchback man and probably didn't look like very much. See, but you know what? God used him in a powerful way. He had hated Jesus too, as you remember. God turned him around. He was one of the most humble people you can ever read about in the scripture. But I beseech you, that means I beg you, that I may not be bold when I am present with you or with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as though we walked in the flesh. If you think we're just like the other folks who say they're leaders and we're walking in the flesh, we don't walk according to the flesh.
No.
We walk according to the Spirit.
Yes.
For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death, Paul told the Romans,
right?
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, I'm not trying to do an arm wrestle and take you down. I'm trying to teach you how to walk like Jesus walked. You have the authority and the power of God's word. You have the promise of God that you are saved, that you're right, you're clean.
Yes.
You are in my army. I've already inducted you, and you are victorious. Why? Because I got out the grave.
Yeah.
So even death, your biggest enemy, won't be able to take you out.
Amen.
So all you have to do is listen to me. Take my way and not the other way. Anyway, other way that you might choose. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
A stronghold is when the enemy has something built up against you that you can't get past it. I would say that more than likely, and I'm not going to speak for you, but everybody has some kind of a stronghold against something that God wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your life some kind of way. It's structured itself among your dealings with people and all of that. And the only one can break it is the Lord. And it has to do with our will and our response to the Lord when the stronghold is broken. Absolutely. It's a mental thing. It's in your head.
Amen.
It's not a physical thing. We might blame it on something physical.
Yep.
But it's actually a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Notice this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He says, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations happen?
Imagination.
In the head, right?
Right in the head.
And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whatever it is that I'm thinking or agreeing with or going along with in my head that defies what God said in His Word or what He promised in His Word, that's the conflict we're talking about. It's a mental conflict.
Yes, it is.
So He says, cast those down. Don't cast down what God said. Cast down the imaginations and the high things that are exalted against the knowledge of God. Bring those into captivity, every thought, even to the obedience of Christ. Now, how can we do that? How can you do that?
Spirit of
God is always telling you to do what God said, right?
Yep.
But we're saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act. It's a matter of the will.
Mm-hmm.
So what I got to do, what did He tell you to do? He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe I'm the ungodly with the bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's people tell you, you can't ever get fixed.
Yep.
Going to the church.
Yep.
There is no power in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Soothsayers against God. But you're blessed if you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but your delight.
Yes.
Where's delight? Where does that happen?
In the spirit.
And in your mind, right?
Yes.
Your delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
Now, in other words, I think what you said is higher than what I'm thinking, or what I've been told, or what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And there I'm going to meditate. Where does meditation happen?
In the mind.
In the mind. Day and night. When is that? When is day and night? I only love you on two occasions. That's day and night. What does that mean? All the time, right? So I got to keep meditation day and night.
Yes, Lord.
The one who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night shall be what? Like a tree. What happened on the tree? Yes, but there Jesus was crucified on the tree. See what I'm saying? They'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. You know, whoever wrote that probably didn't have any knowledge of photosynthesis.
No.
But you know where the food for the tree comes from?
Yeah.
From the leaf.
Yeah.
The leaf brings in, takes light, changes it into food with carbon dioxide. That's called photosynthesis. It's amazing. No, it was led by the Holy Ghost. God told David what to write. And it's still true. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, so the victory is going to be in meditation. I got to cast out imaginations and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Say, no, you will not stand. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Jesus has healed me.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus has made me whole.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got to meditate on that until I get the imaginations that are coming up in my head making me do stuff that's not right out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the formula right here given to us by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He says we're casting down imaginations and every lofty thing or every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing those things in to captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the Apostle Paul is giving instruction to the church to know that this is ongoing battle. It's an ongoing battle. It doesn't end. This battle, the ongoing battle that we are in, is truly a spiritual nature.
Yes.
And that we are to take it up in our minds. It's got to be in the mind.
Yes.
To secure the victory won by Jesus already. Jesus has already won the victory you need.
That's right.
How do we know? It says so in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You can do how many things through Christ?
Everything.
So what is the stuff that I can't do? Why am I stuck with this thing that I cannot do? Gotta meditate in my mind and get around to where I agree with God.
Yes.
I am healed by his stripes.
Yes.
Well, I'm sick. Feeling sick. Well, I got to bring that sickness and the thought of sickness into obedience to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our mind is the sphere of operation that Paul talks about. So it's in our minds to secure the victory won by Jesus and our way of thinking about every matter we are facing so that we live in victory and not in defeat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of thinking. How do you think?
Mm-hmm.
See, you can't do this if you're not saved.
That's right.
Guess what, though? If you are saved, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, and why does he need to strengthen me? Because I don't get zapped into perfection at one moment in time. I have to learn obedience. It says about Christ. Now think about this. He was perfect. He was God. And I'm going to shut up with this. He said the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Because his suffering was for you and for me. And he took off his fullness of glory with the Father, took a body just like the one we have, had a mind just like the one we have. He was filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God, don't you see it? After his baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him and he was given the Spirit without measure.
Amen.
You know what? You can get the Spirit without measure if you let the Spirit do everything he wants to do.
Right.
Because he says we're just like him. That's why we have to be disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn this. You're not going to learn it if you never even point in the direction you need to be to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
See? Somebody wrote a song. I guess they got it right from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See? He keeps strengthening you more and he will give you ability and authority to do everything God sees. And you don't have to worry about anything.
No.
So if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to first invite you to be saved.
Amen.
How do you do that? It's a simple transaction, but you have to make the transaction. You believe that God has given his son, Jesus Christ, who has paid the entire debt for everything you owe.
Yes.
And once you do that, you say, I believe that God has raised him from the dead. Why? Because he didn't offend God at all.
No way.
He had no sins, or death had no power to hold him.
None.
That is what we call the gospel. That Jesus came, he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. The burial let you know he was fully dead according to the scriptures. And then he got up after 3 days and nights according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. See, some people will tell you a bunch of other stuff and say, oh, this is the gospel. No, it's not. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which he did for everyone who believes in him. And it will be attributed to your account by faith. If you believe it, all you have to do is believe it.
That's it.
The apostles preached, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
That's it.
You and your household, they told the Philippian jailer. Why? Because it's contagious. Salvation is contagious. God wants people to be saved. And that's why you and I are victorious soldiers in the armies of Jesus. You are part of the army of Jesus. You already have the victory. Just tell people what you know. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We'd also like to invite you to membership here at St. Timothy. We have some exciting things already in plan. And we're looking to see what the Lord will do as he leads us into another year. Amen. So if you'd like to be a member here, we open the door, we roll out the red carpet for you. Amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there's room. So we do hope that you got a good word from the message. Amen.